Welcome to the Barth Calderon Wealth Protector Podcast. Our founder, Harry Barth, and his son, Brad, are top speakers on asset protection and estate planning to many incredible groups across the country, including the Women Presidents Organization, Vistage, the Young Presidents Organization, the California Apartment Association, and many more. And now, here is your host, Paul Hitchcock.
Paul Hitchcock with the Estate and Asset Protection Planning Firm Barth Calderon. Welcome to Wealth Protector TV, or you might be listening to this on Wealth Protector Radio. And I'm here with my colleague, David Calderon, and we're talking about a very interesting subject here today. David wrote a piece on setting up a protective entity and alter ego. And so, David, could you walk us into what is an alter ego and how is it involved with a protective entity for a business or something else?
Sure, Paul. And first of all, it's great to be here with you. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
The topic of alter ego liability is something that is not always anticipated by people when they set up a limited liability company or a corporation of some sort, be it an S corporation or C corporation, when they get into business. You'll hear on the radio, at least I hear on the radio all the time on my commute or commercials on TV, warning you that if you're doing business for yourself as a sole proprietorship, that in order to protect your personal assets and protect your family's fortune, you need to either form a limited liability company or incorporate now. And people do that. They form the corporation. They form the limited liability company, and they think, great, I've got my business separated from my personal affairs. I'm doing business the right way. I'm writing and entering into contracts with the business, not personally. I've got separate bank accounts. You're doing your accounting fine and everything. Next thing you know, a lawsuit darkens your doorstep, and it not only names, just for example, XYZ Limited Liability Company, which may be your business, but then it names you personally as a party to the lawsuit. And then you say, hey, wait a second. I formed a corporation, I formed an LLC for the express purpose of preventing something like this from happening. And the problem is just doing business the right way, unfortunately, setting up an LLC, setting up a corporation, isn't always enough, at least right off the bat, to protect you from personal exposure to lawsuits.
Well, when I read your piece, what stood out for me on the alter ego scenario is that you said it's really easy for someone to attack you on the alter ego theory because something about the court rules, are pretty lax on the definition of alter ego. Explain that. Why is it easy and it helps attackers get leverage? What was that about?
Sure. In the state of California, the rules of pleading, the rules for filing a complaint are extremely liberal and very relaxed. If you state an appropriate claim, a court's likely to let your lawsuit proceed. And in California, it's very easy for a plaintiff's attorney to not only name the business, but to name you as the owner of a significant percentage of the business, could be all of the business, as a party to the lawsuit by simply alleging that really the limited liability company or the corporation you set up is really just the alter ego of you personally, and basically say that you commingle your funds, you guys are really one and the same, and that you should be personally liable for the obligations that your business takes on.
So what you're saying then is it's easy for somebody to attack under the alter ego scenario, saying that you're not operating this as a business, you're operating it like your personal scenario. And so even if their claim isn't strong, are you saying that what's the problem then? Is that if there's a cost and expense and time in trying to defend it and that's where they get the leverage? Is that how that works?
That really hits the nail right on the head. The allegations against you personally may be completely baseless, but a judge is likely to let those allegations go forward and let the lawsuit proceed into a phase known as discovery, where people can do really intrusive fishing expeditions into your personal assets, your business assets, to try to, quote-unquote, prove alter ego liability, that the business really is your alter ego and to try to get you personally liable for judgments. Now, in the state of California, although the pleading rules are very relaxed and it's very easy to plead alter ego liability, it's very, very, very difficult to establish alter ego liability at trial. But what it does, it opens up your personal affairs to a plaintiff's attorney to march through, look at, stomp on, and create leverage and hassle for you to try to get you to possibly settle the case and resolve it for far more than it probably is actually worth. It also costs a lot of time and emotional expense, too, in responding to the discovery and dealing with a lawsuit when you could be using that emotional and physical capital to help run your business.
So, because I notice here as I'm looking at your blog piece is that that the analysis of whether you're operating your business properly or not is based on fairness as opposed to legal interpretation. So fairness, and you have that in quotes, that's where, okay, what is fairness? And that's where it kind of is a gray area and opens it up. Is am I right about that?
Yeah, that's correct. It basically, as opposed to being strictly legal in nature, an alter ego analysis by the court is going to be very factually driven. And they're going to look at a whole bunch of facts and circumstances to try to determine what is fair. But the legal standard in California is very high. A plaintiff has to really show that there's some sort of fraud or injustice that would basically harm the plaintiff if the business and the personal assets were treated separately as opposed to one and the same. So it's an incredibly high burden for plaintiff's attorneys to overcome, but it doesn't mean that they can't explore that theory and make your life miserable while doing so in the meantime.
Got it. Okay. And as they go through this process, and I have a couple questions. One is what are the mistakes that people make that open them up to a plaintiff winning an alter ego case? I mean, what are some of the more common ones that you see? And then I'm sure people watching will say, okay, well, if this is the case, what can I do to help myself? If it's so easy for someone to attack me like this, what do I do?
Well, if you're a corporation, if you don't keep separate books and records, you don't have bylaws, you don't have articles of incorporation, you don't have meeting minutes, you don't follow your bylaws, that's a really easy way to open yourself up to personal liability for your corporation's liabilities. If it's a limited liability company or even a corporation, the financial aspects are really key. Are you keeping separate books and records? Are you commingling your personal money with the money of the business? Are you bleeding your company dry every month? Are you keeping it adequately capitalized in case you do get sued or there are obligations? You know, are you sucking the money out of the business every month or every quarter? Or are you actually keeping the business healthy and treating any dividends or profit shares that you take from the company? Are you properly accounting for those on the books and making sure that those are accounted for in the right way? A lot of times court's going to look to the financial aspects of the business and yourself to see really is the corporation or the limited liability company something that stands on its own two feet, or is it really something that you're propping up completely by yourself in an effort to try to keep creditors off your back?
Okay, so let's assume somebody's running a clean ship here. Everything's buttoned down and bolted on. But they still can be sued, and someone's going to try to get leverage. So what? Anything anybody can do other than just running a clean company? And what else? What should they be thinking of?
Well, follow your rules. If you have an operating agreement, if you're a limited liability company, or you have bylaws of your corporation, make sure you follow those to a T. If they require meetings, have the meetings. If you have the meetings, document them. Once they're documented, keep records safely away in your office or in your attorney's office so you know where they are if you need them. Secondly, make sure your books and records are clean. Make sure that all of your transactions are accounted for. If you're taking any personal distributions, things of that nature, make sure they're handled properly. Make sure that they're taxed properly. Make sure you keep your books and records, your personal books and records, separate and apart from those that are related to the business. Those are probably the biggest things that you can do. Also, if you're signing contracts on behalf of the business, make sure that you sign in the name of the business. Don't sign personally. If you are the president of XYZ LLC, sign on behalf of XYZ LLC as its president. Or if you're the president of S Corporation, the same thing, or the manager of XYZ LLC. Make sure that you're signing in the name of the business and not signing personally. And if you see something called a personal guarantee, for example, a lot of contracts will come with personal guarantees where you expressly have to make yourself personally responsible on behalf of the business. If you ever get one of those, make sure you talk to a lawyer beforehand to tell you what the legal liability associated with those personal guarantees are going to be all about.
So my last question, because I go in here, is if someone's doing all that and they do get sued, and they come to you, what is your first step? I mean, how do you defend something like that and make it go away? What are you doing?
Well, you defend something like that. First of all, you need to respond to the lawsuit. You try to be aggressive and either maybe demur to the complaint, which is to file a legal challenge to the alter ego allegations, try to get them knocked out. Probably won't be successful with those. And then you try to control the discovery as to what they can have access to and what they can look at. Most plaintiff's attorneys don't really have a good working understanding of the knowledge of alter ego liability. They just throw it in there to try to create some leverage to try to scare you and possibly get you to either be unsettled or to settle a claim. So what we would do is to try to control the discovery in that regard, so it doesn't get too intrusive, and try to show the other side, look, you got nothing here that's going to prove anything.
So is it fair to say that it's making sure everything's buttoned up, running a good, clean company, and also having the proper legal structures in place, LLCs or whatever else. If you got those going on, then you're in better shape than many.
Correct. The best that, I say it, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. I mean, there's a reason why that's an old adage. It's great to have a lawyer in your Rolodex. It's great to have a lawyer possibly on speed dial. Somebody that, invest an hour's worth of time or a couple of hours to have somebody take a look at your books and records and talk to them about how you're doing business to see what they can do to recommend that you keep things buttoned up to where you don't expose yourself to personal liability.
Got it. David, great information. Thanks so much for coming on. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Great. Thank you.
All right. Okay.